all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord for that. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter number 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter number 6. And visiting with us today, I sure would like the chance to meet you. I see several guests here, and I sure would like to meet you after service this morning. I'll be out on the front porch, and I'd love to get a chance to know you. Those of you over there in our overflow, thank you for being here. We haven't forgot about you. And I hope the steak and lobster as well and served great over there. All right. Thank you for sitting over there. I do want to encourage you for our Resurrection Sunday services. We are going to have some tracks made up specifically for Resurrection Sunday. We have a banner that we'll be putting up advertising our two services. I want to encourage you to take a stack of those and begin, as soon as we get them in, we'll probably have them by next Sunday, Lord willing, begin to invite people to church. Amen. Begin to invite folks to church. The reason we're going to two services, it's not two different types of services. People often wonder that. It's not two different types of services. This is simply a space accommodation. We need space. And so we'll have services at 9 and 11. I would encourage many of you to come to the 9 o'clock service and bring some folks with you. There will be many folks who are looking for a church to attend on Sunday. And we would like to leave room and space for guests here in our church on there. I encourage you to come and just be mindful of that. You pray about where the Lord would have you. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare unto them, to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. How many of you have kids? How many of you want that for your kids? It should have been the same amount of hands. Amen. The psalmist said, we want our children not to just know what we know. We want them to live it out and then teach it to the children that are born and teach them to the children. We're talking generational here. Amen. The psalmist said, we want some generational teaching and instruction going on. Amen. We want what we're doing today, when we stop doing it because of death, because we're not going to quit on God. Amen. Amen. To keep on going through the lives of those who God has allowed us to raise and influence. Generational Christianity. The Bible is very clear throughout the New Testament and through the Old even to the New that faith is transferred generationally. That's the way it goes. The Bible says that the elder teach the younger. Somebody give me an amen on that one right there. It's the elder teaching the younger. And the Bible says that the aged women, didn't say old women, said aged women, all right? That the aged women, all of us is aged at some point, but the aged women, that the elder men and teach the younger men. And that's what the Bible says. It's generational. It's got to go from one to the next. I told our young people this morning, we started something new in our teen Sunday school class about the difference between conformity and transformation. There's a difference. There's conformity to the world, and we need to worry about that. But the truth of the matter is, many times young people say, why are young people leaving the church in such great droves? It's because they had a relationship to the church, but not a relationship with God. Amen. And they conformed to Christianity, but they were never transformed. And so we started this morning what it means, how to take what we know and begin to apply it so it becomes transformation in our life. I'm really excited about working with our young people. We're going to look at truth. We're going to develop some convictions, and we're going to go through it. I'm so excited. Why? I am burdened about the generational teaching of our young people. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you something. I'm so thankful, and I'm a believer. I am a strong believer, and some of us need a little bit stronger in it. I am a strong believer in the ministry of the local New Testament church. God has put doctrine in the hands of the local church, not institutions. Institutions are great. They come and they go. Good ones and go this and that. But the local church is to handle the doctrine. Somebody say amen right there. But let me tell you something even more important is your home. See, if the teaching is not generational in your home, it doesn't matter what we teach up here. Amen. Church is a supplement to your home life. It is not the main meal. Somebody give me an amen on that one right there. And so if we're going to have, you say, I want this for my kids. I want my kids to sing these songs. I want my kids to read this book. I want my kids to be faithful to the house of God. And I'm going to keep them in church. Keep them in church. But there's got to be something going on at home. Amen. It's got to be generational. Ephesians chapter number 6. I want anybody who's still a child and you're under the age of 18 to read verse 1 with me. Go ahead, boys. Get it? Y'all want to see? Some of y'all who want to be, all right? Under the age of 18, I want you to find Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Have you found it, youngin'? Say amen. Last night we went laser tagging. I'm not as young as I thought I was. Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 6. I thought we were playing one set of games. We didn't. We played several. Ephesians chapter number 6. I just want those under the age of 18 to read it. The rest of us can listen in. Ready? Begin. That's right. That's your job, by the way. Look up here. That's your job. You're not a parent yet, so the rest of this doesn't apply to you just yet. Your responsibility is to obey. Amen. Sometimes young people say, I can't obey because my parents aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. That is not a conditional phrase there. That is just for you to do. And we'll let God take care of us. Amen. But children, obey your parents and the Lord. But look here. Let me keep reading. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. I want my children to be blessed. And by the way, I also want them, it might sound a little bit selfish, I want them to honor me if what I give them is worth honoring. Amen. That's how you honor your parents. You honor your parents by the validating the things that they taught you. By validating the truth that they gave you, you honor your parents that way. But keep moving on here. And you fathers. I'd like all the fathers. It doesn't matter if you got children in the home or not. Just if you're a father. Would you read this with me? Ready? Begin. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. This message will almost seem like a repeat from last Sunday, but there are some principles and some truths I think. Quite frankly, I don't think. I feel strongly. I'm certainly convicted that we need to go back and reiterate again this week. So we see, first of all, a settled structure here. Fathers. A settled structure. We've got to get that settled in our homes. Amen. If we have single parents in here and we love you and you can do it, God will help you do it, and amen, and you can raise kids for the Lord. Somebody say amen right there. Don't think you can't, because God is more than able to take care of somebody else's mess. Somebody give me an amen on that one right there. God can do it. I'm talking about those of you parents. Whether you're a single mom, whatever you are, you're a single dad. There's got to be a settled structure in the home. Somebody has to be the authority. And that authority has to be mom and dad. And if his daddy is in there, daddy, you need to be there. Amen. That's a settled structure. This is God's design. We started this several months back with the statement, you can't improve on God's design. Whatever God has said is what God still says. Amen. Amen. And the biggest problem with generational Christianity, the biggest problem today, and I can tell you from testimony and from experience and from watching, is the fact that we've got too many absent fathers. Oh, they're in home. I'm not even talking about not being there. That's another problem, not even being there. But I'm talking about we're in the home, but we're not really there doing what we're supposed to be doing. There needs to be a settled structure. God has given the values of teaching of the Word of God. He has given it. The words, the Bible says, to the daddies. Spirituality isn't just for women. Amen. It's not just for women and children. It's for real men. It takes real manhood to live out biblical Christianity. I can tell you that one right there. It takes real manhood. But let me just go back again. There's got to be a settled structure. In the home, the parents have to be in charge. They have to rule the roost. Thank you, all seven of you. The kids are down there. They won't hear you. You can say it. Amen. They're all right. They're downstairs. There's got to be a settled structure. I'm just observing with my own eyes and observed for several years. Kids running the home. Whether they go to church is all upon whether the kid wants to go. Whether things are happy in the house, it's all dependent upon whether the kid is happy or not. Whether things work out okay, it's all dependent upon whether the kid wants to do it. Or is it going to be a happy day? It's whether or not Junior got his Wheaties or not, or got his oats or not, or this or that or not. And listen, I want to tell you something. Kids should not be running the home. Amen. Amen. Well, we weren't able to make it to church because, you know, they just didn't want to go. Well, who asked them? Amen. Who asked? Help us, Who asked? Who took a poll? My mom and dad here. I don't ever remember dad taking a poll. We never took a poll. It was, hey, Sunday is Sunday. We're going to church. Amen. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. They never asked me my opinion. I don't know why. A settled authority in the home. That's a safe thing, by the way. Your kids will love it. They might buck at it at first if you hadn't been establishing it. But eventually, after a couple of months or years, a couple of months, you can get that thing in order. And they will enjoy it and love it and be thankful for it. Amen. There's a warning to be heeded. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. There is a way to parent and parent wrong. That word provoke means to bring about a reaction. It means to exhaust. It means to elicit negative response. I said this last Sunday. I looked at it and I thought, if it's worth saying once, I'll think I need to say it twice. Most behavior problems are not the child's problems. They are parental problems. I'm all right with kids being kids. Time for parents to start being parents. Don't provoke your children to wrath. Hello? You say, I don't like that. I didn't write it. I just said it. Provoke not your children to wrath. Parents, you got to understand there is a way to parent the wrong way. You can tell your kids the right stuff and do it the wrong way. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Do you understand that if teaching your children to do right is a discouragement to them, it is you're doing it the wrong way? Hello? Can I get some support in the Baptist church today? Somebody help me out here now. Come on now. Listen, let's just be upfront all about it. Let's be honest here. We looked at some things that bring about wrath from children. Unreasonable harshness. Abuse of authority. Favoritism and comparisons. Constant fault finding and criticism. If all you do is constantly criticize, if it could have been just a little bit better every single time, if it always got to be a backhanded comment, Dad, how do you think? Well, that looks pretty good considering you only put so much time into it. That looks pretty good. I mean, considering, you know, not as good as your brother, but it's not bad. That's constant criticism and nitpicking. That will provoke wrath in your children. Amen. Nitpicking all the time. I'm not talking about not correcting. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm simply saying, now, I'll have y'all read y'all's verses. Y'all just shut your ears up for the next couple of days. I'm talking to your parents right now. All right, no, listen here. They're going to be parents someday. Constantly nitpicking on your kids. Going to tear them apart. It's going to tear them apart. If you've always got one way they could have done something better, they crossed the monkey bars. In 10 seconds, they could have done it in 9 if they'd have done the double overhanded grip. Did you see what that other boy did? Provoking wrath. It's going to provoke anger from them. We looked at this, or at least mentioned it, inconsistent, unclear, or unbiblical discipline. If the rules of wrong are constantly changing, you're not doing it right. If one day it's a slap on the face for doing it, but the next day it's okay, then you're not disciplined correctly. That's unbiblical, by the way. And it's unbiblical to slap in the first place. Let me tell you that one right now. God has given a place. God has given a place that is padded, some more well than others. But God has given a place for instruction to make a transfer into your child. That is on the hiney. We're going to get to that in a minute. But if it's unclear, they never know when they're going to do what's wrong, and they're never know when, is this okay to do? This is not okay to do. You are going to frustrate and discourage your kids. Inconsistent discipline, insensitivity, and neglect. And then here's number one. I didn't get this one last week, but I thought I'm going to say it right now. Number one wrath provoker out of children: do what I say, not what I do. That'll provoke wrath. Do what I say, not what I do. Do you realize, believe it or not, your kids actually do want to do what you're doing. You're their heroes, Daddy. You're their heroes, Mommy. They're watching every little move you make. They want to do what you're doing. And when you sit there and tell them, don't do what I do what I say, you've put them in a confliction. They don't know what to do, and you're going to discourage and provoke them to wrath. Let me give you another one. This is just free. I didn't even think of this one. Not allowing them to ask questions. Hello? They got to ask questions. They're not rebels because they're asking questions. They need information. They're coming to the right source when they ask you. Hey, hello? Kids need to ask questions. I got one of them. He's not in here. Well, I got two. I got a fourth one on the way. Could be happening right now. Babe, let me know. Are you here? You're still here. Amen. All right. We're in labor right now. Praise God. I mean, anything going to happen? Amen and amen. I got one that has to ask 100 questions about everything. Why? How? When? How often? To what extent? Are you not a rebel? He just needs to know. And you know what? Here's what I found out. They're all a little bit different. When that child, the one that needs the questions, when he has the information, is safe, secure, and compliant, and is willing to do whatever as long as he has some information on why to do it. Well, that's my word. They ought to just do what I ought to do, what I said. Okay, we'll get there. But that's not nurturing. Somebody give me an amen. Don't provoke them to wrath. Don't provoke them to wrath. There's a warning to be heeded. Then there is a purpose identified. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I said this last week. I know it sounds like a review, but just give me a little second to get where I'm going this morning. You can feed, house, school, and take them to church, but you can still not raise your kids. You can put them in sports. You can have them there. You can do all kinds of things, but still not be raising your kids. Did you know that? See, there's a goal we have in mind. It's in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We're training them for the Lord. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. I have with my four children, Lord willing, if God grants me the days and the life and the energy to direct them into adulthood, I want them to be champions for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I care about. I don't care what they do, be honest with you. As long as they love Jesus, will live for His glory and His honor, I don't have any specific career I need them to get into. I don't need them to somehow live vicariously. There's my failed sports life. Somebody say amen on that one right there. I don't need them to come up and do all the things I didn't get to do. You know, I wasn't a beauty queen, so I'm going to turn my little daughter into a beauty queen. God help us on that one right there. Little girls don't need to be looking like beauty queens because beauty queens ain't beautiful. Somebody say amen. There's probably problems on all that. Oh, that's mess. All right. But anyway, it'll come another time. Y'all with me now? Hello? I don't need my kids to vicariously succeed in the areas that I failed in my life. I need them to succeed for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's all introduction. I just need to get that off my chest this morning. Amen. From our text, we see three tenets of child rearing. When I was in martial arts, my martial arts instructor, we had five tenets we repeated every single day. Every day we'd come in. Every day we'd come in and there were five tenets on the wall. Courtesy, integrity, perseverance, self-control, and indomitable spirit. Those were the five tenets of Taekwondo. And we said them every single day. We started class with them. We finished class with them. That's been 30 years since I've been involved in some of that. I still remember it to this day because it was driven into me. Courtesy, integrity, perseverance, self-control, and indomitable spirit. And all that was just driven into us all the time. It was part of my mindset. And quite frankly, I think it affected some of my character. It affected some of my character. And I want to give you three tenets from God's word that ought to affect the character of your parenting. It ought to affect what you're doing. Every day you got to ask God to help remind you that I need to do these things so I can get generationally the truth that I need to get through. Are y'all with me this morning? Let me just give you. And we already looked at them last week, but let's go to them back them again. Tenet number one is nurture. Nurture. Nurture them. Nurture them. Bring them up in the nurture. That nurture is a beautiful word. Look, if you go back in chapter 5, just a little bit back there, you'll see that the word nourisheth is there, and Paul is writing about a husband nourishing his wife. Amen. Fellas, you should nourish your wife. Amen. Amen. It works out for you, by the way. Amen. It'll be okay for you, too. What, you know what happens, sir, if you die to self, love your wife and respect her and nourish her? If ever mama happy, everybody's happy. It's good. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Nourish her. But the Bible says nourish your children. Here's some words that'll go along with nourishment. Affirmation. Your children need to know that they're your children no matter what and that God gave them specifically to you. Amen. I don't do this every day. I need to do it more. I look at my little children and I say, I put my hands on their face. And I say, God gave you to me and your mama. And we're so thankful. We don't know why God was so good to give us you. I don't do it all at the same time. I don't do it all the time. But I try to repeat in some way, shape, or form the affirmation that children are a heritage of the Lord. They're not a burden in my life. They're not a burden upon our life. They're not an inconvenience in our life. If you don't want to be inconvenienced, don't have kids. And if you got them, it's too late. You need to bring affirmation. Somebody say amen in their life. Affirmation. It's got to be there. Identity. They need to know who they are. Your last name. You go back and study your last names and where names come from. Your names came from, this is somebody of somebody, right? Go back and study those things. Your children need to know who they are in Christ and who they are in your family. I know there was a time, and I agree with the respect part of it, but, you know, children are meant to be seen and not heard. I don't know. God gave them laughter and joy and personalities and senses of humor. They say funny things when they maybe shouldn't say funny things. You see, God has made your child unique. Every one of them is unique. They have an identity. Yes, they have been created in the image of God, but they're all just a little bit different. Right, I can look at the different identities of my children now. I can see those that are a little more this and a little more that and a little more this. And it's not negative. It's not whatever. It's just who they are. And they need to know that who they are, that they're fearfully and wonderfully made, however they are. Maybe they want to be this, but they're not that. Maybe they want to be tall, but they're not tall. Maybe they want to be skinny, but they're not skinny. Maybe they want to be funny, but they're really not funny. They got all these different things that they're being told they have to be, but their identity is how God has made them with their personality, and you've got to nurture that, and it's got to be okay. Because God didn't make a mistake with them. Amen. He said, well, my child's got a learning disability. You call that a disability. Let God do something with it. Every strength has a weakness, and every weakness has a strength. That I do know. Give them, celebrate their identity. I know this sounds like psychology, but this is biblical. Amen. He said, I don't know about identity issue. God says, let us make man in our image. Why did he tell us that? To help us with our identity. Amen. All right, we nurture them. But letting them know, and I want to use the word acceptance again. Acceptance. He said, oh, I don't like that word. Don't let liberals steal a word. Acceptance is a good word. I would tell you this much. My children may blow it. They may do whatever like that. But they are my children. I will tell them the truth. I will stand on what is right. I will direct them where I need to direct them. And I will correct where I need to correct. And I will instruct where I need to instruct. But they are my children. And the prodigal will always have a way to come home in my house. Always have a way. Don't you ever, ever, ever. Ever give your children a way not to come home. You say, hey, let's come home. We'll deal with it. Amen. We'll deal with it. Amen. Y'all with me on this one right here? I've watched a lot of children who knew if they tried to get right, they didn't have a church or a home to go back to. We'll never be that kind of church. Amen. By the grace of God, we'll never have those kind of homes. They need a heritage as part of the nourishment. They need to know that they're living for something worth living for. They need their needs met. They need generosity from their parents. They need physical touch. Hello? There's wrong physical touch. We'll bust somebody's fingers over that one. Somebody say amen right there. Protect my children. But there's right physical touch. I kiss my boys. My boys still give me sugars. Amen. My sweetheart, my little baby girl, she used to give me little pecks on the cheek, little sugar. She won't let me carry her into school no more. I try. Amen. But there's still affection, still touch, still driving down the car, still just stick my hand back there, touch their hand, rub their head. They need that. My dad is here. I got to tell you one of my favorite things. My dad don't do it anymore, and it's okay, Dad. I'm not mad at you. Amen. All right. Come on, Dad. I always wear a ball cap. I used to wear a ball cap all the time. My dad would always hit the front of that ball cap. Ball cap was here. I never wore it. I didn't want wearing it backwards or sideways. That wouldn't have happened, all right? You know, trust me. If the pants would have been down, they'd have been jerked up. Somebody say amen right there. All right. Amen. But my dad would always say, come on, cowboy. That's what he called me, cowboy. Come on, cowboy. And he popped the brim of that hat. Let's go. In my heart, my dad just recognized me. Amen. He affirmed my identity, that I was his, and I was proud. Say amen. Amen. So, preacher, you're getting psychological on us. I'm dealing with your families right now. I'm dealing with nourishing your kids. They need that. Amen. Nourishing involves patience. I'm on my last nerve with this kid. Find a new nerve. Go take a break. Take a walk. Count to a million. Whatever you got to do. Because you brought them into this world, and it is your job to nourish them as God nourishes you. And He is patient with you. He is patient with you. He's patient with you. You need to be patient with them. I know what it's like trying to get out the door. You're yelling, kids, let's get out the door. Why are your shoes off? They were on 5 seconds ago. Why are your shoes off? Where are your pants? Where is your underwear? Why is your underwear on your head? What's going on here? I don't understand. We told you we was late already, but they need some patience. They're kids. They don't know what they're doing. They got to be brought along. Do you understand this? Nourish them. Are y'all still with me this morning? Not only, these are tenets of parenting. I got to nourish my kids. You'll never go wrong loving your kids too much. Amen. Nobody ever got up, blamed their parents for being too much of an encouragement to them. I just had it rough. All my parents did, they just encouraged me no matter what. Nobody, amen? But I guarantee you, I could have you right here, and some of you looking right now, some of y'all could stand up right now. We won't do it. You can stand up and say, I never heard a word of affirmation. I never heard a word of encouragement. I never knew who I was in the family. You know, each of your kids need to know who they are in the family. Amen. They need to know. And it's not pecking order. Well, you're 2, but I'm really moving you down to 4. But they need to know what their spot is. Amen. Are we okay this morning? Amen. He said, well, I'll tell you what. You know, this and this and that. Well, your house, you know, we're training them for war, but your house ain't a boot camp. There's got to be structure. We'll get to it. We're getting to it. I'm just saying, first and foremost, nurture is the number one tenet of parenting. Are we there? Nurture. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Figure a way. Read a book. Read the Bible. Get to know your God. God nurtures you. YouTube it, do a TED Talk, go rent the library book. You do whatever you do, but you pray and fast. How about you do that? How about you pray and fast and ask God to give you a capacity that you don't have? Lord, I don't know how to nurture my kids. I didn't grow up like that. Would you teach me how? For the Lord will nourish you and He will show you. The Bible says the Holy Ghost teaches us how to love. Are y'all with me this morning? Are we here? Nurture our kids. Tenet number one, you must nurture them. Tenet number two, you must admonish them. I know y'all were waiting on this one, but now this is where we got to get. I want to do a diagnostic of our kids. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 22 this morning. Proverbs chapter number 22. I'm not standing before you saying that I know how to raise kids. I'm standing before you telling you that this is how the Bible tells me and tells you to raise kids. Amen? I'm not saying I figured this out. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And every time I think I've got something figured out, one of them throws me a curveball. That's usually when my wife says something like, that's your son. Amen. Proverbs chapter 22. I want to do a diagnostic test on every kid in the world. This is something that is true about every kid in the world. And you need to believe it because it's the Word of God. Amen. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 15. We need to read this out because some of us don't believe it. Proverbs 22, 15. Ready? Begin. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Pause right there. Every child has foolishness bound up in their heart. Amen. Hello? You know what the problem with adults today? They never got the foolishness knocked out of them. We got too many big babies, too many big boys, too many big girls who are acting like little boys and little girls who never had the foolishness knocked out of them. He said, I don't like the word knocked out of them. Well, foolishness is inbound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Amen. Hello? I'm just going to go on record right now and tell you it is biblical. It is biblical to spank your children. You say, well, does California recognize the right? It's not California's right to recognize whether or not you spank your children. And if your idea is, I'm not going to do this because the state might come in and do that, you're already off on your parenting anyway. Hello? Now, I'm not even going to talk. There's a lot more to admonition than just the physical part of it. But if you think you can discipline your children without a whooping, you are sorely, sorely mistaken. And you're telling God he doesn't know what he's talking about. Foolishness is in my child. I love my children. I love my children. I love our teenagers. I love them, and I love your little ones and all that. But I want to know something. I look at them, and I recognize there's a lot of foolishness bound up in there. Amen. Foolishness is there, and I got to drive it far from them. Amen. Somebody say amen with me this morning. Amen. See, nurture. Nurture allows you into the heart of your child. Admonition allows you to change the heart of your child. Nurture opens up the door. Because if my babies know, hey, daddy loves me. And whatever happens in my life, I know daddy and mommy love me. So if they're doing something, it's because they love me. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Does not the Bible tell us how to think about discipline ourselves? Right? And so if my children say, okay, mom and dad love me. They've nourished me. I know who I am in them. So when discipline comes, this is not a shock. This is not them hating me. This is them loving me. Then the nurturer has allowed me to reach into their hearts. And now I have their hearts. And I can discipline them and get the fruits out of it. Amen. See, what too many people are trying to do is discipline without the nurture. Proverbs 23 says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. My goal is to stay in the hearts of my children. Amen. One of my prayers, my daily prayers for my parenting is this. Lord, help me stay in the hearts of my children. One of my goals as a youth pastor, and I'm still a youth pastor, amen, is to keep the children's hearts turned toward their parents. Parents. But I want to tell you something. You cannot raise a child without admonition. It is impossible. Well, I don't know. My child's rare. Your child is a sinner, and foolishness is bound up in their heart. Amen. Let's go look at some things here. We're in Proverbs. Go with me to chapter number 13. Let's just look and see what the Bible has to say. Proverbs chapter number 13. Can we do a little Bible study this morning? Just kind of go through some things here. I love my children too much to spank them. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. How many times is betimes? I think like Peter said, it's 70 times 7. Amen. It's how many times it takes. These folks, listen here, y'all ready? I'm going to meddle in your life now. Because that's what the Bible does. It meddles in our life. If you don't spank your children, you don't really love your children. The Bible says you spare your rod, you hate your child. When do we begin to spank them? That's a great question. How long after they're born do we begin to spank them? As somebody once said, for girls, you could probably wait 2 or 3 days, but boys, it's got to start immediately, amen? Let me tell you this. Are you ready? Let me just give you a little help here. If your child can exercise will, they need to understand when their will gets wrong. There's different levels of that. Come on now, help me out here. We don't need no 2-year-old tyrants around here. It starts here, a little bit of this. But then it's got to move down south. I'm going to wait till they're 5 or 6. Too late. Too late. If you can tell your child no and they can respond with whatever they... like. When you say no and they move over, they've just exercised their will. It's now time for you to change that will and bring some admonishment to them. Amen. Hello? Amen. Are y'all ready? I'm just going to meddle now. We'll just start it back up next Sunday morning. I'm already off from notes anyway, so it don't really matter. I didn't grow up in it. We didn't have no junior church in my church. We didn't have that. We had nursery, and that was a dangerous place. Amen. I got a scar that goes from here to there when a shelf fell on me in the nursery. And my sister was watching me. Somebody say amen right there. We have no shelves in our nursery. Somebody say amen right there. We had nursery, and then we went from nursery sitting next to moms and dads. 2 years old, sitting in the church. I didn't need an iPad. I didn't need bribing. I had some incentive to obey Jerry and Libby Conley. And it was called not when we get home, but if you act up, we're going to the bathroom. I don't got to go to the bathroom. Oh, I got to go to the bathroom. Hello? And guess what? It didn't take 6 years to figure that out. A few times I was like, hey, all right, I got the message loud and clear. Sit right here and sing the songs and read my Bible. And I can't even read. We have excused bad behavior all because you don't want to spank your little sweetheart. You don't think they're capable of receiving it, but the Bible is very clear. They need to get it while they're young. They need to get it while there is hope. Let's just keep looking now. Come on now. Proverbs chapter number 19. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 19. I don't get this business of you telling your kids to stop and they don't stop. I don't get this business of you telling them to sit there and they don't sit there. I don't get this business of our little sucker thing over there and you tell them don't have no suckers and they're going to get in their suckers. I don't get that. I'm getting fives from the choir because nobody else wants to say nothing. That's disobedience. Amen. I'm going to get to, I don't know if I have time or not, but it's okay. Why do we discipline over? I wanted to get there today, but I don't know if I think I will. We're just going to have to look at what the Bible says for a minute here. Proverbs chapter 19. Go with me to verse 18. The coat's coming off and I had just now getting going. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 18. Let me get this over here. My wife said, don't wrinkle that, so I won't do it. All right, Proverbs chapter number 19, nourishing. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 18. Are y'all there? Let's look at what the Bible has to say, just so you don't think some crazy preacher's ranting on here. Chasten thy son while there is what? Hope. You have a window of opportunity. Y'all ready for this? You can make them cry now, or you'll cry later. Your goal as a parent is not to be their best friend. That's for later. That's for when your kids are adults, 16, 17, 18 years old. That's friendship time right there. But they're two. It's not time to be friends. I don't want to hurt their psyche. I don't want to endanger their personality. Wrong. You got to shape that and deal with it while there is hope. Amen. And can I tell you, for those of you that haven't done it, you could change your home in a week. With a little bit of nurture and a whole lot of admonition. Amen. 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 You can change it. You can change things with some hope and some admonition right there. I've never seen in my life in a country, and now I'm just getting off of one of these old preacher stories. I'm sorry, forgive me. But I have never seen in my life so many kids slap, hit, tell no, back talk, and we call it sass. Sass their mommies. Anybody knows the word sass? All right, if you sassed your mommy where I came from, you didn't sass too much more after that. Because mommy got you and then dad got you. Amen. I'm just telling you the truth. You say, your childhood must have been terrible. The truth of the matter is I learned some things pretty young and the rest of the time was pretty good. I didn't get as much as I was supposed to, no doubt. All right. I probably needed one every day. Well, it's Monday, 3:30. Son, take it. All right, that's probably what I needed. But those of you that think it's mean and it's rude to spank your children, you don't understand the Word of God. You don't know the Word of God. And by faith, you're not even willing to take the Word of God at what it says. Children who don't get spanked, and now I'm off my notes. Children who don't get spanked don't know how to deal with failure because they've never had to deal with it. They are unemployable adults because they cannot take correction. And they are terrible spouses because they cannot communicate when wrong has been done and how to get it right. Hello. Double up. Come on now. I'm talking about some discipline here. While there's hope. While there's hope. I don't know how many of you sat in a juvenile hall. I have. Though we got a couple people here working in law enforcement and working in the prisons. I guarantee you there's some boys in there and some young ladies in there who say, I wish my parents would have set some parameters and brought some admonition in my life. I wish they would have disciplined me instead of the state. Amen. They'll cry now, you'll cry later. You take your pick. Your job is not to be their friend right now. Your job is to be the minister of nourishment and admonition. Amen. Let's go on. I know this is winning friends and influence of people. Let's keep moving on. Chapter 23. Chapter 23. Withhold not correction from the child, verse 13. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. A little affirmation here for you, folks. A whoop on the bottom ain't going to kill them. They may sound like it. Parents, by the way, if you spank your children, don't tell them not to cry over it. They're supposed to cry over it, all right? Toughen up. We're not trying to bring calluses here. We're trying to, right? We're trying to shape hearts here. It's okay if they cry. You got some that won't cry. I won't tell you which one I got. I got one that from time to time will not cry. What do you do? Quit? Nope. We keep going. Amen. We keep going until there's repentance and brokenness. Yes. Yes. Huh, but that's hurtful. It hurt their bottom, but it'll shape their heart. They will not die. Don't beat them across the back. Don't beat them across the face. Don't beat them across the legs. There's a spot right there. If your aim is bad, have them lay down. And if you're too mad that you can't aim, then you're too mad to spank in the first place. Go cool off for a minute or an hour and come back in. By the way, it's more scary anyway when it's an hour later. I'll be there when I'm ready. And then come in the Darth Vader sound music. I know, do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. My parents are here. I am not bitter against, we got spankings and we got whoopings. I am not bitter against it whatsoever. I am not bitter. I don't feel like they abused me. In fact, they did not abuse me. They chastened me while there was still some hope. Because I had a bit of a strong will, believe it or not. There was a bit of mischievous bound up in the heart of this child. A bit of foolishness bound up in the heart of the child. And every once in a while, mom and dad had to say, go get the belt. I hated that phrase. Go get the belt. I'd go get the belt. I'd find those little cottons. Maybe mom put around her dress. That's not what we were talking about. This was usually leather and had some engravings on it. Amen. I probably still have some tattoos from that. I'm not sure. I don't know. But anyway. Verse, are y'all with me here? Let's not lose it. First Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13. Verse 14. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from, what's the next word? Hell. Hell. What does that mean? You ready for this? Spanking doesn't save, quote unquote, doesn't bring them salvation in the salvation sense of Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's not what it does. But I will tell you this much. It shapes their will and their heart to be receptive to God's grace. Amen. Because after their spanking time, there's loving time. Amen. There's sweet time. There's tears coming out. Should be. I cry when I spank my kids. I cry a lot. I know that. I cry when I spank my kids. Breaks my heart. Then my children reach up and they'll cry with me. And there's grace received. And now I've taught them what sin does and what grace can do. Amen. And we get restored fellowship back to Daddy. And it's a portrait of salvation. And let me give you just a practical sense. You don't spank your kids. I'm sorry to say it this way, but I have to say it. Their lives are going to be living hell. They're going to be living hell. They're not going to have to receive correction. They're not going to be able to take admonishment. They're not going to be able to listen to instruction. They'll be uncoachable, unteachable, and eventually unreachable. Amen. If you don't spank them while there is hope. Amen. Old school, but still a good rule. Go with me to chapter number 29, please. Chapter number 29. Are y'all still with me this morning? I'll get to you. When should we spank and what? Or for what should we spank for? I'll tell you in just a minute. Proverbs chapter 29. Verse number 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Read this last phrase with me. Ready? Begin. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The rod and reproof give wisdom. It didn't say time out gives wisdom. I'm going to put him on time out. This ain't a game. Well, I'm going to give him points. You get 10 points, you get a whipping. You just taught them 9 ways to be disobedient. That's delayed obedience, which is just disobedience. I need some folks to help me out here because I feel like I'm in a room full of enemies right now. I know I'm not. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Amen. We're going to do this. We're going to sit there and take away something. What's that all about? Rod and reproof give wisdom. Amen. Bribing. I can't believe it. If you obey in church, I get you a milkshake afterwards. No. You obey right now, I'll take you to the bathroom. We're going to get it straightened out. Amen. I'm thankful to be in a bilingual family, quite frankly. I can say things in a language nobody else knows what we're saying. I can say it with a smile. Just the copa law. Well, you might be thinking I'm saying something nice. My children know what that means. We about to get something. My wife don't even have to use the language. She can just look. Hello? Bribing don't change nobody's wisdom. You're a rewarding disobedience. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Verse number 17. 29, Proverbs chapter 29. Are we okay? You okay? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17. Correct thy son and he shall give thee what? Rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. There is nothing more stressful in a house than undisciplined children. They make life a wreck. Hello? If you discipline them, they'll give you rest. Why? Because you make them take a nap after they get one. Amen. But not only that, they'll learn the rules and how to act. Amen. If it's constant you struggling back and forth, you have not disciplined them correctly. And you are not disciplining them. Children should not be, and get whatever they want. I'm just going to meddle with our church because it's the only church I preach to. I'm watching out here on the playground. I don't want to go home. You're going to want to go home. Now I just have to pause. Here we go. Are you ready? I can tell you I made some of y'all mad, but we don't have to deal with that. We've had to deal with it, and from time to time we have to deal with it. I'm not saying we'll never have to deal with it again, but we will deal with it. That pops up. But there ain't going to be no fit throwing on me. We have a saying in my house, if you want something to cry about, I'll give you something to cry about. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning? You say, oh, that's harsh and that's this and that's that. Well, you just take your route for the next 10 years and come back and see me in 10 years and we'll see what's going on around here. Chasing thy son while there is hope. Amen. Amen. What do we discipline over? My family, we have a couple rules and this will be very practical. And I'll close whenever that happens. What do we discipline over? We discipline over disrespect. You disrespect your mother, you disrespect your father, you disrespect your papa and your grandma, we're going to have a whooping time. Amen. Disrespect. That's back talk. By the way, that's less severe than the Old Testament penalty. I just want you to know that. Write these down. This will help you. Disrespect. I can't, and I'm just going to stop here and now I'm meddling. You think I don't like teenagers? I just spent my day with teenagers and I love them dearly. I've never been so disrespected in my life. Not necessarily these guys, but I've never been so disrespected in my life. I can't believe that. I grew up, and we didn't worship our preacher, but we were taught to respect adults. And if an adult said, please move over here, I'd have just said, mm-hmm, and never said nothing about it. Not why, who are you, or walk past me and never say a word to me. Amen. A lot of disrespect we got going on around here. Amen. That's called sassing, back-talking, disrespect. Amen. Hello? Start to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. No, sir, no, ma'am. Still say that. Amen. Respect. So we discipline over disrespect. If my children disrespect their mother, she says something like this. What did you just do? So we've got to identify what's going on here. I disrespected you. What happens when you disrespect me? I get a spanking. Go to your room. Or get it right here. I mean, that's just generally how it is. So disrespect. We've identified what is disrespectful. Well, they didn't say anything. Oh, yes, they did. What is that's disrespect. We deal with disrespect. Let me give you another one. Disobedience. Just the letter D. Disobedience. What is disobedience? If we say it this way and it's done another way, that's disobedience. He said, that's not very fun. The rules are very clear. People can function around them. If I say, do not take that over here and you take that over there, that is disobedience. He said, well, they weren't lighting the house on fire. Well, they'll get there if you don't deal it over here. So disobedience. Disrespect. Disobedience. What level of disobedience is disobedience? One time. Now, I generally try to be a little bit gracious. It's not always the law, right? What? Do you remember what I just said? And what are you doing? Yeah, let's get back over there. But if I say, don't put that over there. Don't go do that. Don't climb up that. Don't jump off of that. Don't start that up. Don't run with that. And that's done. That is disobedience. Amen. You don't even have to go to a parenting conference. This is free, all right? I mean, you don't even need to get on the radio. It's disobedience. Go do your homework. And it's not done. Disobedience. Turn the lights off. It ain't off. It's disobedience. And your kids are going to do it until they know how far you're willing to let it get away with it. And they'll function there. Amen. Amen. So we'll just deal it over here. Amen. I'm not perfect at it. I miss it. We miss it. Somebody give me an amen on this one. We miss it. We don't nail it. But we do our very best. Disrespect. Disobedience. Third one. Disregard. Disregard. Disregard for your sisters. Disregard for your brothers. Disregard for somebody else. You willfully hurt somebody. You mean. You push. That's called disregard. And that's going to get some discipline. Now, there are levels of that. If you know you squash somebody's, that's all right. If you squash somebody's, you know, we're playing cars and you squash the Lego house or something like that, and you fell on it, or, you know, that may not be worth a beating. You go and push, kick, scream, bite. Disregard. You broke somebody something on purpose. Disregard. And also, you weren't supposed to touch it in the first place. Now we're disobedience. But I want to. Now you just disrespected. And we deal with it. Don't smack him in the face. Don't jerk their arms. Don't give them the silent treatment. Spank them. And you say, your kids must be miserable. I don't know. They seem to be decently adjusted. As for right now. That's all I can do. So, you must admonish them. I dare you to. I dare you to discipline your kids and see how your house turns around. Amen. Sometimes my wife will say something like that. I need 1 hour with that kid. 1 week. Just 1 week of clear rules, nurture, admonition. We could fix it. No problems. You won't get this too many places, right? You won't get it too many places. What if the CPS watches this video? It's none of the CPS's business what goes on. Now, there are some good people in CPS. I would promise you that. There are good people with good intentions. But it's not within my legal right. It's my God-given right to discipline and nurture my children. Amen. You need to know that. You need to know that. So let's all stand. We'll be dismissed now that I've made a bunch of you mad. I will not make my wife and I the example of child rearing because we're not done yet. Okay? We're not done yet. And there are no doubt some flaws and inconsistencies in our life. No doubt they see it. My children see it. No doubt you probably see it. Okay? By the way, can I just say this as a pastor? My kids aren't held to a higher standard than your kids. My kids don't need to be more obedient than your kids. Our kids just need to be obedient. Amen. Who's with me on that one right there, all right? Well, I can't believe the pastor's kid did that. Hey, look who their daddy is. What can you expect, okay? I mean, that's a problem. Because I don't have much to work with. Amen. Can I tell you something? Those of you that think you can raise God-fearing children who are going to live correctly, live honorable lives with character, and do it without admonition physically, you are mistaken. Nurture opens the heart. Admonition transfers the wisdom. It's what the Bible says. Do we believe the Bible or not? Amen. Your success in nurture and admonition determines the ability for direction. I'll deal with that next Sunday morning. There are three tenets are nurture, admonition, and direction. But you cannot direct your children if you have not nurtured and admonished them. Amen. If you constantly have to deal with sulky face, pouting fits, I don't know. You can ask my parents if I ever threw a fit. Probably threw one. One. Probably. At least publicly anyway. I don't know. But I just don't get all of it. Don't have to be that way. Amen. Child rearing can be fun. They can give you rest and delight. They are children. They need to be trained. Don't expect them to figure it out. Well, I hope it didn't split the church over it, but amen. It's biblical. It's biblical. Amen. Admonition of the Lord. We'll get to that direction in a little bit. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer.
Hear the story from God's word that kings and priests and prophets heard there would be a sacrifice and blood would flow to pay sin's price. Precious Lamb of glory, love's most wondrous story, heart of God's redemption of man, worship the Lamb of glory. Christ the